Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the gospel lesson, that one simple short verse. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Happy New Year. God speaks to Abraham. From the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised. This command is repeated in Leviticus 12. On the 8th day, the boy is to be circumcised, which made the confusion I caused yesterday with calling it the 6th day after Christmas really bad, because today's the 8th day, and we didn't jump ahead 2 days over New Year's. So forgive me. But you see, circumcision was the only mark permitted on the flesh of a free Jew. Any other marks, like tattoos or piercings, were signs of bondage and slavery. Circumcision was a sign of the old covenant between God and his chosen people. The fathers were the ones who carried out the circumcision, typically. It could be given off to a rabbi at that time. It even could be done by a mother. I remember when my girls were born, Dr. Herdrich handed me a pair of scissors and said, cut the umbilical cord. And I said, okay. But I don't think I would do the other. I don't think I would have it in me to do this. Now, this task is given to trained professionals called a mohel. This all takes place, you see, on the 8th day. And the 8th day is a sign of eternity for the Old Testament. And for us, it's a sign of new creation. The day of the resurrection. Jesus first sheds his blood on the 8th day, not the Sabbath, not the 7th day, the day of rest, or at the age of 30 when he began rabbinically allowed to speak. No, God commanded the 8th day. You see, his covenant was never about our choice, but about his choosing. Now Jesus the Christ, the covenant with Abraham to be a blessing to all families of the earth, is fulfilled. Jesus' circumcision fulfills all the old covenant. The new covenant is established with a different type of circumcision, one not made with human hands. As St. Paul says to the church at Colossae, in him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you also were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. This new covenant requires only the blood of Jesus and not our blood. This blood is poured over us in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the sacrament of holy baptism. Circumcision was a mark of the relationship God had with the people of Israel, that he would be their God and they would be his people. Jesus, the Son of God, came to fulfill what it means to be called the child of God by his perfect life, being ever faithful to the Father's will. We enter this new covenant and become God's people through our union to Jesus the Christ, through his means of grace, the word, and the sacraments. In his circumcision, our hearts are now circumcised through water and word, where in baptism we are joined to Jesus, and Jesus is joined to all of us. We are baptized into his death and resurrection. As we die and rise each day, no longer do we need circumcision to be God's people. Jesus has fulfilled that law. Now we have a life-giving water joined to God's word and promise. And we don't need to have water poured on us every day to remember our baptism. we through God-given faith are baptized once, joined to Jesus' circumcision once, for always. And we now live in Jesus. At his table, our Lord Jesus pours out his lifeblood as his body and blood are the food of forgiveness, life, and salvation. I pray that even our rationalistic Christian friends can see that infant baptism is proper. For the Israelites, circumcision was performed on the eighth day after birth. There was no waiting for the child to say, "Hey, Mom and Dad, I was at camp this week and I decided I should be circumcised because I want to give my heart to Jesus." There was none of that foolishness, none of that silliness. There was, "You are a child of the promise and we are marking you as one." That's what occurred. This is all about God's one-sided covenant, you see. For Mary and Joseph, God's command was enough. Jesus' submission is part of his humiliation as his parents exercise their God-given authority over him, even as his parents are keeping God's word. It's amazing this eight-day-old baby Jesus is able to fulfill the law for us in his flesh as the lawgiver God subjects himself to the law that we might receive the full rights of sons. And this does not mean that before the Father we all stand as males. This means we have a proper understanding that before the Father, adopted in Jesus, we are equal to the firstborn because we are heirs of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus as the predecessor. This is a continuation of what we confess in the Creed, the Lord's stages of humiliation. You remember those who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. This again is proof of what Jesus didn't just appear to be in flesh, but really was flesh. He's not some spirit because spirits don't get circumcised. The Word that was in the beginning became flesh and dwelt among us, his people, and he redeemed our body and our soul. The shedding of Jesus' precious blood points us forward to the day when Jesus is taken by those practicing government authority over him to pour out his blood on a Roman cross for all of us. I was interested in doing some study for this text because it comes up every year, but and you try to find something new to say, and I did. I found something new that doesn't make me a heretic. The waiting to name the child until the eighth day was not a Jewish practice. You go back into the Old Testament and read, and the child was born and named the day of their birth. But all of a sudden, there's this custom of waiting to the eighth day to name the child at his circumcision. And it's interesting, it seems they have adapted the custom of the Romans and Judaized it. Because the Romans would name their male children on the eighth, and then, no, their female children on the eighth day and their male children on the ninth. And the Jews took this custom and changed it into their own and started this practice of waiting to name the child until it was 8 days old. Now, God had already named the child before it was ever born. Mary and Joseph were told to name it Jesus. It's interesting, though. I'd never seen that before. Jesus, as the angel told them, they do it, the adopted son. Thus being faithful to the word of God, as the angel of God had directed him, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will be born the Son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And that name Jesus is just a little sermon all in its own, isn't it? It quickly explains why he was born. Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus, Jesus, all means Yahweh saves. This is why his name is above every name, and that at his name every head will bow and every knee will bend. As his heavenly Father gives him his only begotten Son, his name, as the angel had instructed Joseph, Jesus comes to take away the sin of the world because Yahweh saves. That means, you see, if he takes away the sin of the world, he takes away all the sins, all our sins, the sins we confess today and the sins we weren't even willing to bring up in our memory because they haunt us so badly. All sins are forgiven. Yesterday, today, and should our Lord delay another day, even tomorrow. For Jesus is the true Israelite, the perfect Jew, who alone has kept the law of God perfectly for all. He is the God-man, the Son of the Covenant, the only one who could have passed through the animals when the covenant originally was struck with Abraham and not suffered death for it eternally. So instead of spending our time worrying about the future and fretting over our past, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. As he alone brings true peace to our chaotic world and our chaotic lives that are caused by sin. When the world, the flesh, and the devil have you, when they put you on the ropes, think of this one simple sentence. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. For here is the baby Jesus, humbling himself, allowing his blood to be shed to fulfill the law of God for you, because Yahweh saved. So with hope and peace, we can face all the opportunities and all the challenges that will come during the year of our Lord 2024. Should Jesus' return continue to be delayed. But never forget, in this 8-day-old babe named Jesus is all we need no matter what comes. For whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Therefore, we live in Jesus now. And then one day, when we die or our Lord Jesus returns, we shall have nothing to fear, for we shall live with him for all eternity. Because Yahweh saves. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.